your hands and give Jesus a round of applause.
Hallelujah.
If you know he's got all power in his hands, you ought to magnify him just a little bit more than that. If you know that,
hallelujah,
our God can do anything.
Yes.
Can you just lean over to somebody and say, my God can do anything? Oh, I think you leaned on the wrong person. Tell somebody else, my God can do anything. He's got the power.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Amen. Truly, it's an honor to be in the house of the Lord on tonight. We're thankful to be here to worship with you, to be a part of this anniversary celebration, and be here with the young people celebrating on tonight. Let's give all of the young people a round of applause for their participation and their ministry on tonight. Amen. Truly, it's a blessing and an honor when you have a ministry that celebrates the gifts and the talents of the young people. Amen. Yes, people, you know, used to say that the young people are the church of tomorrow, but we believe they are the church of today. Amen. And so we thank God that when you have seasoned saints who are pouring into the next generation, it produces an unbeatable quality that can change this nation. Amen. So we're thankful for all the young people and all those that work with the young people that participated on tonight. To our worship leader, amen. To Brother Bullock, who's doing a wonderful job. Bless you, sir. Amen. But we do want to celebrate the man of God, amen, the pastor of this house for his 12th anniversary. We give you congratulations for a job well done. Let's clap our hands for Pastor Darrell Armstrong. Bless you, sir. To your lovely wife and the family, the first family, God bless you. To all of the leadership that are here at Shiloh, amen. We thank God for you, all of the members and the disciples connected to this ministry. We thank God for you. We bring you greetings from the Latter Glory Church, amen, where God is doing great and mighty things. And we're just glad to be a part of this awesome anniversary celebration. So we're not going to be before you longer than the Holy Spirit says. So if you can just turn with us, amen, to the book of Acts, chapter number 20. Acts chapter number 20, and there you'll find our assignment for today. Thank God for my wife that's in the house today. Amen. Shimon, Etienne, bless you. Can you just stand and wave to everybody? It's my wife, and those are all the kids over there. Bless you, all the children. Bless you. Amen. My wife couldn't make it tonight. She's at home with grandma. Her grandmother is 80 years old with dementia. Amen. And so we want you to continue to keep our family in prayer. Amen. As God continues to have his way. Amen. Did anybody come here expecting a word from the Lord? Hallelujah. Just can you just tell about three people around you, say, I need a word from the Lord.
I need a word from the Lord.
Hallelujah. I need a word.
I need a word.
The Lord.
Oh, don't say it if you didn't need it, if you don't need it, if you don't need it. But some of the things we've been facing and going through in life, it takes a word from the Lord.
Yes.
To help set everything in order. Now you're probably wondering how they're going to do this. Is one going to preach, the other going to sit down, and how they, you know, but we're just going to do this the way the Lord has anointed us to do it. I've known him all his life. And he's known me all of my life. Amen.
Yes.
But we were swimming in my mother's womb. They thought it was just one of us. As a matter of fact, when they took ultrasounds, they only saw one body. When they listened for a heartbeat, they only heard one heartbeat. When they saw the baby's hand move and a foot move, they only saw one hand, one foot move. So it just a sign of how we were connected and in agreement ever since we were in the womb. And when we came out and living in this world, and we've did things together, we played sports together, went to school together, we messed up together, but we got saved together. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. We've been called to preach together, and so we might as well just do this together. Amen.
Amen.
So if you have Acts chapter 21, beginning at Acts chapter 20, and we'll begin at verse number 7. When you have it, say amen. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight.
And there were many lights in the upper chamber, where they gathered together.
And there sat in a window a certain young man, someone say a young person. His name was Eutychus, being fallen into a deep sleep. And as Paul was long preaching, he sunk down with sleep, fell down from the third loft, and was taken up dead.
And Paul went down and fell on him, and embracing him, said, "Trouble not yourselves, for his life is in him."
When therefore was come up again, and had broken bread and eaten, and talked a long while, even till the break of day, so he departed.
And they brought the young man alive, and were not a little comforted.
Can you say amen? We want to focus on that 10th verse that said, "And Paul went down, fell on him, embracing him, and said, trouble not yourselves, for his life is in him." We're going to talk to you for a few minutes from the subject, "I'm still here. I'm still here." Pray with us for a moment. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on us. We thank you for this opportunity you've given us to preach your word. For the grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of the Lord will stand forever. God, we thank you for speaking to us. Now speak through us.
Yes.
Let your word tonight come across with power and authority, simplicity and with understanding, that everyone in this room can apply it to their life.
Yes.
Father, let these people not focus on these twins, but we're grateful for your twins, grace and mercy, that has kept us and shall continue to move for us. Now, Father, we pray that someone would be saved, set free, healed, delivered, and empowered. In the mighty and matchless name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Somebody who loves him, shout amen.
Amen.
You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. While you're taking your seats, just tell somebody around you, "I'm still here." Pastor, after 12 years, just tell your wife, "We're still here." Amen. We read in your hearing out of the book of Acts. The book of Acts, commonly known as the Acts of the Apostles, which should more appropriately be called the Acts of God. For it is in this book when God begins to move by his Spirit, and you see the Spirit of God empower the church and move the church in places that it has never seen before.
Yes.
The book of Acts actually opens up on the aftermath of a world turned upside down by one man named Jesus. This Jesus, born of a Virgin Mary, Jesus who was born and wrapped in swaddling clothes, and this Jesus who grew up and he was about 12 when he was first ministering in the temple and amazing the teachers of the law. And when his parents were looking for him, he said, "Didn't you know I must be about my father's business?" Jesus, at 12 years old, understood his purpose. And so it just, I'm thinking about the fact that Jesus, when he was 12 years in existence on earth, he understood his purpose. And so I'm thinking of this pastor who's been here for 12 years. By now, we ought to get a glimpse of what his purpose is. And that is to change lives and to see lives spoken into and empowered for great things. Jesus continued to grow in wisdom and stature and in favor. And God did great things through him. And you know, it wasn't until he was 30 years old when his public ministry began. He began to preach. He was an awesome preacher, the kind of preacher that most ministers should try to copy and mimic his style of preaching, instead of some of the business, the mess that we see today. It's sometimes we just need to go back to how Jesus would open up his mouth and confound people with the words that came out of his mouth. He was an awesome preacher. I mean, the kind of preacher that can walk across the water without a bridge or a boat and speak a three-word message, "Peace be still," and the winds would be slain in the spirit, and the waves would say, "I've fallen and can't get up." He was an awesome preacher.
But not only was he an awesome preacher and people people begin to follow him all over the place, but signs and wonders followed him. Everything he spoke to, he changed the very nature of the thing he spoke to. Everything he touched, he changed the very nature of the thing that he touched. And we told you before that yes, he healed the sick and he raised the dead. Yes, he turned water to wine. Yes, he walked across the waters without the bridge or the boat. Yes, he even stopped by the tombs of the Gadarenes, where there was a young boy who was there trying to cut himself and was crazy and deranged. But yes, he spoke to that young boy and changed his life forever. Yes, there was a young girl who was dead and her body began to decompose, and he spoke and said, "Talitha kumi, damsel, arise," and the young girl came up out of her sleep. Yes, he stood outside of a tomb of a dead man who was dead for 4 days and spoke and said, "Lazarus, come forth," till the man came leaping up out of the grave. Yes, he did all of those things, but that's not what he came here to do. But he came here to be lied on. He came here to be talked about. He came here to be despised and rejected. He came to his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, them gave he power to become the sons of God. He came here that he might go to that cross and look at the people and take the sins of the world upon his shoulders. He who had known no sin became sin just to save us all. Yes, he stood on that cross and could have called down legions of angels to stop the madness, but he yet submitted to the cross, and he stood there and gave the words that some of us are afraid to say to our haters and to the ones that do us wrong. But he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And he stood there. He could have came down off the cross, but I'm so glad he stayed there. And then he died on that cross. And y'all heard this story. Y'all talking about it in Sunday school and Bible study. But we realize that he didn't stay dead. I feel like preaching too early, Derek. He did not stay dead. But 3 days later, early Sunday morning, he rose up with all power in his hand. And guess what? He didn't stop there. He said, "I'm coming back for the church. The church that's prepared. The church that loves me, the church that submits themselves to me." So he understood his purpose. He came to die for you and I. Tell somebody, he came just for me.
Mm-hmm. And so in the book of Acts begins with Jesus revealing himself after he was resurrected from the dead.
Okay.
And showing himself with infallible proofs that he did exactly what he said.
Uh-huh.
Aren't you glad that he did exactly what he said?
Yeah.
And so he rose and he told the disciples, "Go to Jerusalem and wait to be endowed with power from on high." And you know the story in Acts chapter 2, that when the day of Pentecost was fully come,
yes,
the scripture says that we were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting, and appeared unto them clothed in tongues like as a fire that sat upon each of them, and they all began to speak with other tongues, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost. Peter said that we are not drunk as you suppose, seeing that this is the third hour of the day, but this is that the prophet Joel spoke of, that in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Tell somebody, God's got a plan for my turn. Oh, he said the sons and daughters shall prophesy. He got a plan for them. And so Jesus now begins to equip them for what they need in order to produce this powerful generation of disciples. Disciples, disciplined followers of Jesus Christ. And so now the church is growing, the church is moving, and God is doing great things. So the whole book of Acts begins of how the power of God is moving. Souls are being saved. When Peter preached, over 3,000 souls came to Christ. And so God is doing great things, but all of a sudden persecution breaks out. The Bible talks about a man named Saul who was wreaking havoc in the church, who was going out to find Christians that believed in this Jesus, and he would beat them and bind them and put them in prison, and they even put people to death, all because of their faith. This Saul had his own agenda. One day he was on his road to Damascus trying to fulfill what he thought was his purpose, to find Christians. He was doing his own thing, but the Bible says that a light shined from heaven and knocked Saul from his beast to the earth. Hallelujah. Every now and then God has to knock us off of our high horse to remind us that it's not about us, but it's really all about him. And so this Saul fell to the earth, and Jesus himself began to call him. Jesus changed his life, and all of a sudden he went from a persecutor of a church into an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. God changed his life, had his own plan and agenda, but God interrupted his life, changed him from Saul to Paul. Is there anybody in here that knows what it's like to have your own plan and agenda, but God interrupts your life?
See, maybe you don't understand, but some of us, we were doing our own thing, and God had to get our attention. See, y'all looking at us like we're good preachers or we're ministers, but we have not always been saved. Oh, did I surprise you? And the real, can I just let everybody out on the secret? You haven't always been saved either. The issue is, but sometimes we come to church and we want to act so holy and look like we've got it all together, and we look down at people who don't struggle with some of the things we struggle with, and we look down. But if they really know your real story and the stuff that you used to be caught up in, let me talk to this side because they're looking at me strange over there. Have you ever come across people that how soon they forget that God saved them too? Tell somebody, I know I've been changed.
I've been changed. He brought me from a mighty long way. The things that I used to do, I don't do it no more. Places I used to go, I don't go anymore. See, God changed our lives.
And so we found out that this particular man whose name was Saul was changed to Paul. God changed his life, changed his order, changed his assignment, put him on a new path, and empowered him and equipped him to go forth. Help us preach real quick. Tell somebody, you've got to go forth.
You've got to go forth.
And so now, he now was called by Jesus Christ himself. God has called him, forgiven him of his past, and says, I still want to use you. That's good news for somebody up in here. Because see, people will try to frustrate you and make you feel like because of your past that God can't use you. But if you truly repented of your past, the word repent means turn and run away from. As soon as you get rid of or repent from your past, God will have a way in using you. And we find that Paul, he began to change his life. But now he was brought together with the rest of the apostles, with Peter and the ones that walked with Jesus. Watch this. Paul had a calling from Jesus Christ himself and said, I'm making you an apostle, and you're going to show those what it is to serve me. But yet the Peter and James and the rest of the other disciples who walked with Jesus and fed the 5,000, and they saw him heal the sick and raise the dead, they had a different relationship and encounter with Jesus. So now when Paul stepped in the world, they could not really get with the new convert. They couldn't get with the new person who just got his life together and came into the church. They said, well, we don't know where you came from. We walked with Jesus. We went them on. I know I'm talking about the disciples, but you have some people says that I've been at this church longer than you, and I've been saying longer, y'all, mister. And so now they were a little bit leery of receiving Paul because they were skeptic in judging his conversion and saying, did God really change his life?
And the truth of the matter is, there may be people that know about your past.
Come on.
They know the things you used to do.
Yes.
And now that you're on a new path, they're still skeptic of God really changed you. But there's an old song my grandmother used to sing that I know I've been changed. For the angels in heaven done signed my name.
name. You don't know the things that I've been through that God had brought me out of. You don't know the things that I was caught up in, tied up in, tore up from the floor of, but God somehow snatched me out in the nick of time. So I thank God that I've changed. And if nobody else believed that he changed my life, I've got a testimony of where I used to be. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Is there anybody in here that's thankful for where God brought you from?
Well, while we're praising God from where he brought us from, let's take about 30 more seconds and praise him for where he's bringing us to. Is there anybody excited about where you're going? Just tell three people around you, say, I'm going places.
I'm going places.
I'm going to go a little bit higher.
Higher.
I'm going to go a little bit farther. I'm going somewhere.
I'm going places. I'm going places.
So now that Paul's life was changed, but he was now... placed in the middle of a place or a situation where people could not receive the new him. They were focused on the old him. And it reminds me, you know, and it happens in our churches today and at work and at school when you have what we call deep sea scuba divers. What is a deep sea scuba diver? A deep sea scuba diver is somebody who just woke up one day and says, I would like to go way down in the deep and dig up some stuff. I don't have no other reason. I could be a doctor, I could be a lawyer, but I would rather go down and dig up some stuff that's way down and just look at it and talk about it. And while I'm talking about the deep sea scuba diver, we got some deep sea scuba divers sitting on the road next to you. I'm sorry. There are people who in your family who were deep seas. They digging way back into your past. And God already delivered you and brought you over here, but they like to rewind and remind you of all the stuff you used to do. But I used to get upset about that. But I got to a stage in my life that I'm so glad you remember what I used to be, because that was then and this is now. High five about three people. Say, that was then, this is now.
This is now, this is now.
Hallelujah.
So, the deep sea scuba divers. When Jesus forgave us of our sins, he put them all in the sea of forgetfulness.
To remember them no more.
So he doesn't even remember the sins of our past. But deep sea scuba diving saints,
come on,
goes into the sea to... Oh, let's move on.
Come on, move on, move on.
So Paul did not allow people remembering his past to frustrate his purpose. God changed his life and called and commissioned him to now go change others. In our text, the Bible says, and we're just about finished, the Bible says that he was ministering in this place and now he was getting ready to leave. He was there preaching, and the verse 7 that we read said it was the first day of the week, it was a Sunday night, and now he was getting ready, he was breaking bread, and Paul was ready to leave. But he preached to them to midnight, kind of like we're going to do tonight.
Just playing.
They got the tomatoes in the back over there. Watch it.
But Paul was preaching till midnight.
Can you imagine if we just got to the point in church where we're not so concerned about our TV show that's coming on that... we want to get back on the internet, come on somebody, and go to YouTube, and we want to go to the Facebook, come on somebody, but have you put your face in God's book?
I'm sorry, can you help me move on? So Paul was preaching.
Long preaching.
The Bible says he was preaching until about midnight.
Mm-hmm.
Now watch this, verse 8 says, and there were many lights in the upper chamber. Many lights in the upper chamber where they were gathered together. Many lights. When you see light in scripture, it's symbolic to revelation and illumination.
Mm-hmm.
Remember when the earth was darkness and void was upon, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved across the face of the waters. God said, let there be light. Mm-hmm. And when God said, let there be light, all of a sudden everything began to illuminate. So light is also a sign of revelation. The word that is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway. So the revelation or the word of God is light. So there were many lights. So while Paul was preaching, there were many lights. So it's symbolic to the state of the church today that we're getting a whole lot of revelation. A lot of revelation, a lot of good preaching. Okay? But if you continue to read, the Bible says that while they were getting all this good preaching, verse 9 said, and there sat in a window a certain young man named Eutychus. And this young man fell into a deep sleep as Paul was long preaching. Here's what God began to speak to us and say, that while we're preaching and while we're having great services and great sermons with a lot of great revelation, there is a generation that's falling asleep. While he's preaching, while he's preaching, while he's teaching, while he's putting his hand behind his ear and saying, yeah. Wow, all of the good preaching and revelation, they're talking about the Hebrew and the Greek and the Logos and the Rhema and the Rhema word. All of this, while all of the preaching was going on, there was Eutychus, who was symbolic to a young generation who was falling asleep. The Bible says that he sat in a window. When I think of a window, I think of a window of opportunity. So this generation has an opportunity to be propelled into their future, or to allow themselves to fall in a deep sleep to the point that they're not conscious of what's going on around them. He said that while he was preaching, that they went to sleep and he fell from the third loft, which means there was a first loft, had to be a second loft, and the third loft, and he fell out of the window, fell to the ground and died. While preaching was going on, while the revelation was going on, while they was having great services, there were some who were coming to church dying. Oh, I hope y'all already shouted and praise God, but because sometimes we don't want to deal with the fact that we come to church and people are coming to church and still dying. And so, but what gets me about this text, when it was the young man, the young boy, the young generation who was now falling into a deep sleep.
And now, if you really look at it, no one just falls into a deep sleep. But there are signs of fatigue or being tired. You know, just like somebody down your row, they already nod and saying, I wish these preachers sit down. It's signs. It's signs that there is, I'm tired. There are certain signs. You start nodding and you start yawning, and then you look over and then somebody saw you yawning, and the yawns are contagious. Y'all know that. And so there had to be signs that his body, or that he was getting tired. And I believe that there are signs that our generation are getting tired of some stuff. I'm going to come down your row in a minute. They're getting tired of some stuff. And we came to empower the church and strengthen the church and let you recognize the purpose of this man of God and why he's here. But there is a generation that is tired of church as usual. There is a generation that's tired of seeing hypocrisy in church, because there is a generation that feels like I'm dealing with struggles because the church is telling me that I'm not supposed to have sex, but the school is preparing me, handing me condoms, and so I have all of this stuff going on. Y'all looking at me strange because we don't like to talk about this in church. So the generation got all of this stuff going on, and then we got some spiritual person just says, save yourself from the Lord. Meanwhile, she's shacking up, doing her own thing, peeping and creeping. And so the young generation is trying to figure out, how are you so holy in church, but then you got this stuff going on at home? They got some kids who look at their mothers and they see their mother is lying and stealing and cursing at home, but then they come around the pastor, how you doing, pastor? And this young generation, they're seeing this and they're getting tired of the hypocrisy, because the demands are so high on the children, but you're supposed to love God and serve God. But then when they look at older people who say they love God, but they can't even speak to the brother and
brother, sister next to them in church, they're tired of seeing failed leadership and failed Christians who talk like they say. Just three people on you say, they're a little bit tired of this. They're tired of this. And all of this that they're tired of was while the preaching was going on. And so he, tired, seeing signs, but no one else in the room saw that this young man was nodding. Do we really know when our children, our young people are nodding? And I'm not talking about physical, nodding, but I mean that we're seeing the signs that they're fading.
My God.
Well, their praise isn't the same. Their commitment isn't the same. Now all of a sudden they're talking slick. Where did this come from? We were training them in the way that they should go, and now they got this rebellious season they're going through. They're nodding off. The Bible says that he fell from the third loft and died. He once was here, but fell down here. Now, I know we were talking about the young generation, but sometimes even us older people, we go through seasons where we were on the third loft. And life has a way of throwing us blows where we get knocked down a few levels. Maybe it's just me, but I've been through seasons where my praise was here. But then sometimes you go through a test and a trial, and now your praise is down here. This is when you gotta tap into your inner strength and get that Job kind of faith. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him.
Or when you get that David kind of faith, that I will bless the Lord at all times, and this praise will continually be in my mouth. So there are times when you're going to feel like you're on the mountaintop, but then life has a way of wearing you down so much where you were praising him from the mountain. But anybody know what it is to praise him in the valley? David said, yea, though I walk through the valley in the shadow of death. He didn't say how I walk through it, but I'm going in the middle of it, and I know that God is with me and gonna bring me out. But while I'm in the middle of it, it is a struggle. But is there anybody in this room that understands that if you can keep on pressing, even if you found yourself in a low state, you don't have to stay low? High five somebody around you, say, we've got to go higher.
We gotta go higher.
Come on, push somebody next to you. Come on, tell them, we've got to go higher.
So now what we're seeing is, I know this is the youth night, and so we focus with Eutychus being the young generation, but the truth is all of us go through seasons of being tired.
Come on.
Being tired and fatigue does not discriminate with age.
Sure.
But all of us get tired. And we come to church and we're tired. We're working and we're tired. We're tired in the marriage, tired at home, tired on the job. We're going through seasons of tired. But if we don't deal with this, we'll fall from one level down here and eventually die. We're just about finished here. The Bible says that when he fell and he died, he fell and died. Verse 10 said, but Paul went down. While Paul was preaching, Paul went down. While Paul was given the revelation, and when he recognized that those who were listening to him fell while they were listening to him, he stopped his preaching and changed his tactics. Okay, I'm not saying that we got to stop preaching. I'm saying that we got to somehow identify what the problem is, and every now and then we must change our methods. Oh, the message must remain the same, but sometimes our method needs to change. The Bible says that he stopped and he went down to where the boy was. He went down to where he was and fell on him. He went down and fell on him. And so this young person, this person got tired with the cares of this world and fell. And this Paul who was preaching did not just leave him down there, but he went down. This is what real ministry is supposed to be about. When you have people who are willing to go down to to those who have already fallen.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He went down, watch this, and he embraced him.
Yeah.
Okay, so when you embrace, that means you got to get close enough.
Come on.
And the problem with some of us church folk is when some people fall, we don't want to get close. Because we want to just stand afar off so we can point the finger. Oh, but if you understand that I messed up too, and I wish somebody helped lift me up, you understand how to get close to embrace and say, this too shall pass. Shake this off. Get back up again and get back in the game.
Yeah.
He went down and embraced him. That's why do you think this ministry has survived all of these years? I was talking to the deacon in the back and said that over the last 100 years, only 3 pastors have been here. Hallelujah. In just the last 100 years. So that means that the reason why you didn't need a whole bunch of people coming in is because there were men that have the ability to come down. Because all of us have been down and came to church broken and came to church dealing with our troubles and our situations, and we needed someone that can give a word from the Lord that can come down to where I am and help pick me up again.
Yeah.
So Paul stopped with the routine. I can imagine him up all night preparing his message, studying the Greek and studying the Hebrew text and looking at the Dakes Bible and the Swift's Bible and looking at all of the commentaries and seeing what they had to say and reading Bishop Jake's books and watching all these things going on, just preparing themselves for Sunday service. And now he finally get the opportunity to preach the gospel, and while he's preaching, some drama happened in the church and he's got to stop preaching and deal with the drama. But the Bible says that he went down. It is a form of humility, because he had to forget about himself and go down. The problem is a lot of us, that we want people to come to where we are, but are we willing to go where others are? And so he went down.
That's why when the young brother was giving his reflection about the pastor, to hear that he break dances, to understand that we know that to reach a certain generation, you don't compromise your integrity, but at the same time, you take the suit off and you come down.
He came down. He came down. That sounds so familiar.
So when a generation is down, someone came down to help lift them up.
But when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden,
come on,
and we were doomed and on our way to a burning hell, there was a conversation in heaven saying, what can I do to redeem man? And Jesus stood up and said, prepare me a body. And he came down to 40 and 2 generations. He came down, made himself of no reputation, took on this sinful flesh. Can you imagine him in the courts of glory, where the streets are paved with gold, where there is no sickness, there is no tiredness, there is no lying and stealing and backbiting? But he left all of that glory and came down to 40 and 2 generations, took on this sinful flesh. Now he had to know what it is to be tired. Now he had to know what it is to be betrayed. Now he had to know what it is to be left hanging to dry. So then he went down. But not only did he go down when he came to earth, but there was a woman that was caught in the act of adultery, and they were trying to stone her and figure out what should be done. And they went to Jesus and said, Jesus, what should you do? And Jesus stooped down and began to write on the ground. But why did he stoop down? down and write on the ground.
Now I know a lot of people said when Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground, they were seeing good preaching of how maybe he was writing the 23rd Psalms. It was good preaching that the Lord is my light and my salvation. But I don't know what he wrote when he went down. But the fact that he went down and began to put his finger in the dirt was a sign that he would come down and touch the dirty places in our life that nobody else wants to deal with. Jesus came down and he embraced us and he lifted us back up again. And so when this Paul just followed the same example that our Savior did for us, when he came down and embraced the young boy, he got close enough and he said, trouble not yourself, for there's life still in him. So while all of y'all counted him out, the one that came down said, don't count him out yet, he's still alive. We just came all the way down the turnpike just to tell somebody in this room that God didn't forget about you, that you are still here. While everybody else counted you out, everyone else said that it was over because they might have saw that you fell a few levels, but I come to tell you that there's still life in you. There's still potential in you. There's still purpose in you. And you are connected to a church that's willing to come down and embrace you where you are, to lift you back up again. Just tell somebody, I ain't dead yet. I'm still here. Out of all that I've been through, I'm still here. I fell down a couple of levels, but I'm still here. I might have gotten knocked down a few times, but I'm still here. Why don't you just high-five somebody and say, I'm still here.
And see, listen. The reason why some people aren't clapping at this moment, it's not because that you don't believe in the preaching, but some of you are going down memory lane, and you're just thinking, God, that I should have been dead. Oh my God, I should have been 6 feet under. There's some people that used to walk with me, but they're not walking here no more. There's some people that was in church with me, but they left the church a long time ago. But when I look back myself and look at the mirror, I can say I'm still here. Now high five three people and say, thank God you're still here.
God is still
here. You're still here.
You're still here.
Through the storms, you're still here. Through the pain, you're still here. Through the floods, you're still here. They lie on you, but you're still here. Trying to assassinate your character, but you're still here. They talked about you, but you're still here. You messed up, but you didn't give up. God picks you up, and you're still here. Is there anybody that's glad for the fact that you didn't roll over and die, but the Holy Ghost got strength inside of you to cause you to still stand? That's why the Lord told Moses to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Stand still or still stand. Is there anybody that's still standing? You got hit, but you're still standing. Just tell somebody else, I'm still here.
I'm still here. I'm still here.
Oh,
y'all might as well stand to your feet. We're closing this. But the Bible said that when everybody else said he's dead, when they looked at this generation and said they're dead, they're saying that they're Generation X, but we call them Generation Next, that they're next in line for what God has in store. They said that this generation, by the time they hit 18, they'll either be dead or in prison. But we got news that the devil is a liar. There's still life in him. I can hear the potential. When I heard the young man talking with such articulation, he was a sign of his generation that they're still here. When I heard the young girl praying with such passion and emotion, it was a sign that they're still here. When I saw the young people praising and dancing, everybody's not on a pole, or y'all not talking to me. Everybody's not doing it, but some of us are in the house house of God, giving him the glory, because they're still here. I'm just so glad that there's some young people around you that God's going to use. Just look at somebody and say, thank God for your child.
Thank God for your child.
They're still here, still in the household of faith, still here, still applying his teaching, still here, still trying to obey the word, still here. Shout yes!
Now we gave a nice, cute little, you know, don't want to get ring around the collar, don't want to sweat your hair out praise. That was good. But for those of us that know it should have been worse in our lives, but God stepped in. He came down to my situation. Let's give God a real I don't care what my neighbor think praise. Come on. Open up your mouth and praise. Because you're still here.
I'm still here.
You're still here.
Hallelujah.
Well, y'all can do better than that. You're still here. Fell down a few levels, but you're still here. You had to call sometime, but you're still here.
Hallelujah.
You cried sometime, but you're still here. Oh, still here. Ooh. Still here. When they counted you out, you're still here. They said it was over for you, but God said you're still here.
Yeah, yeah.
There's still life in you.
See. Quickly, Pastor, when you were installed in this church, there were some that said he can't handle this church. There were some saying, oh, he's too young, he can't handle this. He can't handle the weight and the history of what this church represents. They were running their mouth and put their mouth on you. But we got an announcement, don't we? He's still here.
Oh! Still here.
Glory.
Hallelujah. Just poke your finger right on your neighbor for a second. Just. Now respond and say, I'm still here. This ain't a dream, I'm still here. You thought it was my worst nightmare, but I'm still here. Sometimes God got to have somebody around you to remind you, you're still here.
Yeah.
Because you're looking at your situation and you think it's so bad, but God has to remind you, you're still here.
Yeah.
You're still here. Just grab hands with somebody for a moment. You're holding hands with somebody. You're holding hands with somebody. That through all the preaching, there are times we go through falling down a few levels.
Jesus.
If the person whose hand you're holding is honest, they will tell you, yes, I had seasons where I fell a few levels. But somebody came down.
Yeah.
And I'm still here. The fall itself could have crushed his skull and he could have died instantly. So the initial blow itself could have taken him out. And the truth is, some of the things that you've gone through, that blow, that traumatic situation that hit your life could have taken you out instantaneously. But there's still life in you. Said there's still life. You're still here. Bible said that he embraced him and he brought him back up alive. This is what Shiloh is all about. The place where God begins to bring us back to life. So let's just pray, because some of us, if you've gone through some things and God brought you out, we're going to pray for a thanksgiving. But then we might be praying also for somebody who's in the middle of their tired signs. They're at that window. Or they might be right in midair, about to crash. We want you to know that there's a Savior.
Yes.
who came down to get you. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for the person whose hand we're holding.
Thank you, Jesus.
Who've been in church, heard your word, but sometimes life throws us a blow that causes us to fall. Does it mean that there was something wrong with the preaching? Does it mean that there was anything wrong with the church or the house? But there were signs of what we were going through that just overwhelmed us and we fell. But thank you that you've always sent a servant that would come and embrace us.
Thank you, Jesus.
And not condemn us, but minister to us that you're the God of another chance.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, God, for embracing us where we are and lifting us up where we belong. Thank you, Father. We might have fallen a few levels, but our prayer, our praise, our worship, our commitment may not be where it used to be, but thank you for giving me another chance. Now, with this moment, we'll serve you for the rest of our lives. And Father, there may be somebody right now, hallelujah, who've gone through it and we're just thanking you because it could have been worse. We're thanking you because we could have been wiped out. We're thanking you because it could have been the other way. And Father, we pray and as we squeeze that neighbor's hand, we squeeze strength in their hand.
Yes, yes.
That when the weight of this world begins to tire them out, we squeeze strength now. That they will stay sober and vigilant. That they will be alert. So that no enemy can come and frustrate their purpose. So that they can continue to fulfill their life's assignment. Thank you, Jesus, for embracing us. Thank you for lifting us. Thank you for allowing us another chance to live for you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Clap your hands and give God praise if you're still here. And before we take our seats or pass or give the mic, there may be someone here that has fallen and don't know Jesus. We have deacons here and ministers here and the leadership here, however you all handle the altar call. Pastors, it's okay if we just invite those to come. Someone in this room, you might have fallen and you're in sin. But Jesus came down for you. There are deacons here that want you, that are willing to pray with you. They're here to embrace you. This young man Eutychus was in church and fell. So there might be someone in this room that gave their life to Jesus but found yourself in a backslidden state. If you want to recommit your life to the Lord, Jesus is here to embrace you. Step out in the aisle. There's someone there that's ready to pray with you. Are you thinking, I'm going to wait for Sunday? But Sunday is not promised. While you have this window of opportunity, why don't you just come and give your life to Christ? Oh, you're looking at two preachers who grew up in the church but fell. Our mother was the assistant pastor of the church, and we were there doing church things but fell. But it was a Friday night like tonight when God began to send a man of God to come down and embrace us and offer Christ to us. And we realize the way that we're going, we can't do this no more. It's a shame to go to church, hear the preaching, and still go to hell. So we had to make a decision. I'm not playing church anymore. There's purpose. There's destiny for you. So we want to, this last call, there might be a Eutychus in the room. Someone, this is your window of opportunity.
Thank you, Jesus.
Give your life to Jesus. Hallelujah.
God is able. God is able.
Yes, he is.
Jesus.
God is able. And he won't fail. God is able. God is able. Telling you, God is able, and he won't fail. Tell me, who can make mountains move off my way?
Yes, yes.
Tell me, who can make the miracles because of my faith? When the doctor says no, who can still say yes? When I'm in trouble, who's right here to help me pass every test? God is able. God is able. Telling you, God is able. And he won't fail. Tell me, who can make the rivers out of little streams? Tell me, who can make the clouds to roll back?